I thought because tomorrow I will go to another place, I wanted to, I thought, let me say goodbye to the devotees in Goloka Dham. And all of a sudden, not only Goloka Dhamis are here, but devotees from Radha Desh have come to give pleasure to our hearts and to our sense of smell, because Sudevi and Anupma made this most beautiful and artistically conceived garland. I also want to greet a huge crowd, Hare Krishna, the internet crowd, who will see and hear whatever I have to share with you through the newly acquired camera of the Sharanagati webpage. That's an exciting way to communicate. I do know that some devotees from America really want to see and hear what is new. So I want to greet all of you also. The way I conceived this evening is that I thought I would give a thought-provoking presentation based on my own experiences the last few weeks. And after having done so, I wanted to just explain a little bit about my plans, because devotees naturally want to know how it, how the life of Satchidananda Swami continues. And at the end of this little presentation, we will have a few questions and answers. I do hope that you are comfortable and that it will be interesting for you. And if there will be maybe some devotees who like to take prasadam to friends, I do have prasadam for all of you and for your friends. I think in the future there will be a technology where we give the cookies to some instrument and then it goes over the internet, beam, and you can take a mountain of cookies in America and so on. But at the moment we only have this facility with pictures, not with prasadam. My lecture today is entitled From the Head to the Spiritual Heart. When I was recently in this, let me say, highly valuable experience of becoming a patient, I could see something or realize something which before that time was already theoretically known to me. But which I had not really explored in my spiritual life. That knowledge which came to me was that head knowledge is useless. Concepts which you have made with your mind, even about Krishna, cannot help you when it is really time for you to make a connection with the Lord. I will call, just to make it simple, this the world of concepts, or the knowledge of concepts, head knowledge. And while I will deliver this little speech, I will give another concept, which is heart knowledge. With heart knowledge, I refer to knowledge which is realized. So, as I'm now a long-time member in our spiritual movement, I have had a lot of contact with other spiritual orientations and other spiritual groups. And I have often seen that in these spiritual groups, there is a very bad sense of community. People of the same spiritual group may live together, but really they feel like strangers to each other. I've also seen that in many groups there is a lot of talking about becoming free of ego, but in their communities there are sometimes ego fights which are as bad as anywhere else in the world. In our own Hare Krishna movement, I have noted that there is a tremendous amount of spiritual information or knowledge which is given. We have so many books published in our movement. It is really impressive, the number of books. It's really impressive. And I believe each year about 10 or 15 more titles come out. There is a lot of knowledge available. But the question which we have to ask ourselves as devotees in this movement is, how much has this knowledge come from the head into the heart and therefore changed our behavior and our concepts? I would say not really concepts, but our experience. When I was in that hospital and had my moments of fear and doubt and pain, I had to ask myself the question, how much has the wonderful knowledge of Krishna consciousness entered from the heart, from the head, where I understand it, into the heart? How much faith did I have at this moment? How much faith in Krishna that everything which would happen by his arrangement, and there was no need for me to fear? How much love did I have in my heart for Krishna? I had to ask myself the question, how much had the knowledge from the head entered into my heart and had now softened and melted my heart with profound, let me say, spiritual maturity? I want to help all of you to distinguish head knowledge and heart knowledge by reading to you a little what I wrote on this. Very often intellectual knowledge looks like realized knowledge, but knowledge which does not touch the heart and affect a positive change is just head knowledge. The moment the knowledge goes into your heart, it changes your behavior. But as long as the knowledge stays in your head, it doesn't change anything in your life or in your behavior. Hard knowledge inspires always more surrender and faith, but head knowledge could maybe inspire a lot of pride. I know so much. I know more than anyone else. I have studied very well. My dear devotees, I can speak to you beautifully about humility until my head is red and blue. But only if I have love for Krishna will I be able to be humble. My dear devotees, I can speak to you all my knowledge about forgiveness, which I have heard and which I have understood from psychology and New Age and our philosophy. But only if my heart is full with spiritual strength can I tolerate a difficult moment with a person who is not so easy for me to relate to at this particular moment. It is said that head knowledge is like a torch for a blind person. You can give a blind person a torch, eine Fackel. Can he see? No. Because he is blind. A few months ago, some devotees went to a theater performance, and before they left to the theater called The Little Prince, I quoted the only sentence which I know from this book, remember from this book. Something like, only the heart can see what the eyes are. No, the real things in life can only be seen by the heart. Or something, die wirklichen Dinge im Leben können nur durch das Herz gesehen werden. At least, this is the German translation I remember. I also want to today present to you that only realized knowledge, which is not a theoretical concept, can help you to surrender, to have faith, and to attract Krishna into your life. If it's in the head, Krishna won't come. Because Krishna is attracted only to the Bhava. Bhava Grahi Janardana is one of his many names. Bhava means the feeling which is in the heart. A devotee may be not able to produce any visible results, but if his heart is full with the desire to surrender and please Krishna and make him smile, Krishna is very satisfied with the devotee, and the devotee will feel it. Because Krishna accepts the mood, the attitude, the desire, more than the formulas which we understand. In our spiritual culture, we have a wonderful little practice. It is called paying one's obeisances. This practice of paying heartfelt obeisances to the Lord has been praised over the execution of complicated external rituals. There's a quotation which I would like to read from you from the Narada Purana, which glorifies obeisances. As something very special. completing 10 Ashwamedha sacrifices can't compare with offering a single obeisances to Krishna. That's a very complicated ritual, the Ashwamedha sacrifice, in which, as a proof, you can check if it was successful. You can check it by success, by how successful the sacrifice was to give even a new body to an animal. Completing 10 Ashwamedha sacrifices, they are so costly, can't compare with offering a single obeisances to Krishna. He who has performed 10 such sacrifices is born again in this world, but not he who has once bowed down to Krishna. It's from Narada Purana. Why? Or what happens in the obeisances? My dear devotees, anatomically what happens is that the head goes down and the heart raises over the head. When you get down, the heart is higher than the head, although usually the head is higher than the heart. This shows you, this simple anatomical situation shows you that in bhakti the heart has to rise, the head has to go down. Again, I would like to make sure that when we speak about the heart, we speak about the place where all the desires come from and where the desires go back. Chitta. The heart is the place in which we have to practice Krishna consciousness, not the intellect. We have to desire it, we have to surrender to Krishna, and so on. At the moment, I'm listening to the most wonderful lectures delivered by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj on the South Indian Yatra. So Devi, which year was this? Do you remember? 2005. I think this feels very good. And there, he spoke about a devotee which many of us have not heard in so many details, who became the successor after Ramanuja Charya had gone back home, back to Godhead. This devotee's name was Parashara, and he became the leader of the Sri Sampradaya. He was extremely learned, and already when he was 5 years old, he was a great master in debate. He would give every day beautiful lectures of a very philosophical kind. And either before or after the lecture, he would go to Ranganath, the beautiful deity of Lord Vishnu, who sleeps on Anantashesha. Who of you have visited Lord Ranganath? Oh, I'm surprised. So, when he was standing before Lord Ranganath and offering his prayers, he would always quote one stuti or prayer which had been recited by the great Yamunacharya. What do you think about coming closer? Would that maybe help devotees who come later to find a sitting place? So, Parashara Muni, not Muni, Parashara would say to Lord Ranganath, "Oh Ranganath, I'm wicked and I'm full of material desires. I'm fallen into the ocean of birth and death." And whenever he would speak, there would be an extremely envious person in the background who would say, "Satyam, it's true." He was pray, you know, this wonderful devotee, "I'm wicked, Satyam. My heart is full of desires, Satyam. I'm very fallen in the ocean of material life and full of desires, Satyam." This person was so envious on Parashara that he would not only limit his envy to the time when this great devotee had darshan and prayed to the Lord, he would also go all over Ranganath and say, "He's wicked. His heart is full of material desires. Who knows what he does? He is fallen into the world." Yes. He would go around and spread politics. So once Parashara was praying again this prayer, "I'm wicked, Satyam. I'm full of material desires, Satyam." When he was finished, he turned around and with very honest tears of joy in his heart, went to this person and paid his most grateful obeisances. Now it was real. He really wanted to pay his obeisances. It was not some psychological questionable activity. He really went down in profound appreciation and was lying on the ground, and this person saw it and felt it, and he had expected an entirely different reaction, like, "Can we talk about it? Or would you like to reveal your mind about your activity? Maybe I can change something, or just a North German reaction, 'You idiot, get lost when I say my prayers to Lord Ranganath.'" He didn't expect such a display of profound humility and pleasure. He said, "What are you doing?" And Parashara got up and said, "I'm so happy that you are testifying to my fallen situation before Lord Ranganath. Now he knows that I'm not just saying it out of my humility, but he knows by your testimony that I'm really fallen. You have given a good witness account. I'm so absolutely grateful, because now Lord Ranganath, seeing how absolutely desperate I am, might give me his mercy." This is an example which I would like to quote. An example which shows you how the concept of humility is no longer an intellectual concept. It's good to be humble, because humility is the opposite of ego, and ego is bebe in spiritual life. Here is a realized person who really feels humble, who not just only thinks to be humble, he feels humble. It's an example of knowledge which has gone from the head to the heart. And please witness, I know in the West we do have sometimes difficulties with the word humility. We feel it's time now to assert myself of my rights and of my this and that. Please note, this devotee feels profound ecstatic revelations of Krishna. He's not just thinking about some material bad qualities. He is really looking at the Lord with tears of love in his heart. He's realized. He's in ecstasy. He's in bliss. He experiences spiritual life. I would like to now give you a few quotations on this subject, from the head to the heart, and maybe give you some inspirations how you can also make this transfer of realization. When I was in the hospital, it became an existential need for me, as I was being devoured by this extremely strong infection, and as this fight between the antibiotics and the infection was going on, and it was really a battle. I wanted to turn to Krishna, but because I was so much in pain, the pain really became everything to me. It overwhelmed my perception, and I noticed I was not able to turn to Krishna. I was just too maybe overwhelmed. I didn't want to turn to Krishna just by calling out, "Krishna, help me," you know. What I was looking for is finding some shelter and meeting Krishna in the heart to get relief. No? And I noticed it was not coming. It's almost like, sometimes when you chant, you notice the name is not coming. I don't know if you notice, but I notice. I try and try and try, but it remains just syllables for me. It's not Krishna who's appearing. Or maybe when you are living your life and you feel there is so much need for me to relax now, but I'm so tense, since weeks I'm tense. This profound happiness of life is not coming to me. I just remain worried and stressed out, and so on and so forth. It's not coming. So in that same way, I gave two examples, which also to make myself understood. I noticed in the hospital, Krishna is not coming. Krishna consciousness is not coming. And that was because I didn't get any relief. It became so difficult for me that I could not imagine to survive the next 10 minutes, I couldn't lie on the left side, on the right side, on the back. Everything was paining, and the nerves were on fire. And I noticed Krishna consciousness is not coming to me at this moment. Then I just try to take shelter in the holy name, Krishna. But it was just so dry, and please, dryness of the heart is intolerable when you need to feel Krishna, someone's love in your life, that is Krishna's love in your life. I don't, not just anybody's life, because no one could help me in this situation. I needed Krishna, really, to just survive. It was such a situation. And then something happened which was beyond my concepts. I had what you would call in religious language a meeting with God. I do not wish to speak about this at this about this at this time, because it's still so fresh and it's still so inconceivable. I can only express it like this, that I felt totally accepted. I was bathing in the Savatma Snapanam, as Mahaprabhu says, the ocean of love, Krishna's love. And I was profoundly moved to tears. And I was just felt a lot of relief. I understood at this moment there was no problem. Absolutely no problem. The only problem which exists in the life is when I'm separated from Krishna. That's the only problem. I understood this. It was not theoretically. And it was, it worked. I was saved, you could say, from going crazy or I don't know what happens when so much pain is there. It was no longer a concept. Krishna consciousness had come into the realized stage and was now putting my heart on fire, I could say. Prabhupada writes about this a little bit. I mean, he writes about it many times, but I found a quotation which I think is expressing it very nice. By the grace of Krishna, a devotee gets realized knowledge. So we have to acquire the grace of Krishna. Then we can understand Krishna. Then we can see Krishna. Then we can talk with Krishna. Then we can do everything. It's a nice quotation. Should I read the quotation again? This time I will read it for the devotees in America. By the grace of Krishna, a devotee gets realized knowledge. So we have to acquire the grace of Krishna. Then we can understand Krishna. Then we can see Krishna. Then we can talk with Krishna. Then we can do everything. So you hear here that heart knowledge is always dependent on the grace of Krishna. This is what the statement says. It's a Gnadengeschenk. It's a gift of grace. It has to come down. Realized knowledge is not something you can affect so easily. However, as we will hear a little bit later, the Bhagavatam does give an interesting road, so to say, which when a devotee travels this ancient road, it looks as if Krishna is waiting somewhere on the road for the devotee, and then comes out of the hidden position and may choose to help the devotee. I will talk about this a little bit later, but let us for now stay on this point, that to develop heart knowledge is something which is a gift of grace, a Gnadengeschenk, a gift of mercy. You know, the two greatest pillars of Krishna consciousness in modern times are Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. we are followers of Rupa Goswami, and therefore we are called Rupanugas, those who follow Rupa. And Sanatan Goswami is the great Acharya who sets things clear for us, the Sambandha Acharya. Both of these, Rupa Goswami is the Abhideya Acharya, both of these Goswamis were instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami was instructed in the place Varanasi, Benares, they say today, at a beautiful ghat called the Dashashvamedha Ghat. There is a little boat's tour which you have to make when you come to Benares. It's the Pancha... How is it called? Pancha Gang? Or Pancha... I think it's Pancha Ghat or something to it. You go to five ghats with a boat. We did this boat tour. And we also passed Dashashvamedha Ghat, where Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatan Goswami for a good number of days, I believe more than a week, on the essentials of Krishna consciousness. And when Sanatan Goswami had heard about all this, he said to Mahaprabhu that please help me that this knowledge which you have given to me becomes manifest in my heart now. He didn't want it to stay just on the head knowledge. And he prayed very nicely. Would you like to know the prayer? Yes? Good. He said very urgently, the conclusions which you have told me are the ambrosia of truth. My mind is unable to approach even a drop of that ocean. So with my head, I can't just even understand a drop of it. If you want to make a layman like me dance, bring me to life. Kindly bestow your transcendental blessings by placing your lotus feet upon my head. Now, will you please tell me, let whatever I have instructed all be fully manifest unto you. If you can bless me in this way, you will give me strength to describe all this, what you have told me. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then blessed Sanatan Goswami by saying, let all these instructions be manifest in your heart. And Sanatan Goswami, through the power of this blessing, could understand Krishna consciousness. My dear devotees, do you sometimes pray for realizations? Without the power of this divine grace, you will never understand even a drop of Krishna consciousness, because it will remain intellectual knowledge. And we can so easily be, at least I can so easily be deceived by intellectual knowledge, because the intellect, let us not forget, is the next door neighbor to the soul. So whatever you have, when you have a good brain to understand philosophy, then because it's not yet in the soul, in the heart, but it's in the intellect. But you think because they are neighbors, well, it's the same address. You know, like I know when we come to let us say Brückenstraße. I don't know if there is a Brückenstraße. Brückenstraße 40. A and 40B, they sound exactly the same, you know. It's even in the same house. But there may be an apartment of a materialist, which is Brückenstraße A, and the middle maybe the apartment of an aspiring transcendentalist or person who wants to be transcendental, which is Brückenstraße 40B. So what you have in the intellect is not necessarily spiritual if it has not softened your heart so that you are full of faith and you surrender in your life to Krishna. And you will not have the experience if you only move in the heart department, in the 40A. You have to come to the 40B, the number 40B, the address of a realized knowledge. So this, as we understand from Sanatana Goswami's example, is a matter of blessings. When we get the blessings, or the grace, as Prabhupada says, then we can see Krishna, talk with him, walk with him, and do everything. Now there is a road, and I have seen that our time comes to the end, and I want to just request you to give me maybe 7 minutes maximum of your attention. The road of which the Bhagavatam explains. The Bhagavatam starts with a problem. The problem is we have turned away from Krishna and developed a false identity. It manifests in the form of a knot in the heart, the knot of the ego. And this knot becomes tighter and tighter and tighter as we go through our life. I can see this as a person who just gets old in modern times. The atmosphere has become so tense, at least for me before I came to the operation. It's just so many worries which come with the Kali Yuga. Worries which unfortunately do not stop before the doors of the devotees. Also in our movement we sometimes have worries. I think you know that. In life we have worries and we become aware of our shortcomings which we would like to overcome, but it's so difficult. It's not a good age for spiritual life. I think by now we have to believe the pages of the Bhagavatam, isn't it? That in this age of Kali, people are just not so talented for spiritual life. This is the statement of the Bhagavatam. I didn't believe it up till 1 year ago. You know, now I can see it. It is difficult. It's the atmosphere in the West and so many difficulties, which may not even be your own difficulties. It may be other people around you for whom you feel and whose struggle you see and which affect you in some ways. I do know that those devotees who helped me through the hospital experience and through this recuperation period, they tell me that they are also troubled to see my trouble. It's natural. If you love somebody, then the trouble of the other person becomes your trouble. This is happening when you love. Certainly, so we may not have our own problems, but the moment we are connected with people, we participate in that energy field of trouble. The moment we are in a movement, we participate in everything. The moment we are in our group, the moment we are in a relationship, Kali Yuga gets everyone. Hare Krishna. This is at least my honest experience. And the overwhelming symptoms of material life is fear. Or, let me tell it in modern ISKCON jargon, insecurity. Same thing, fear. This is Kuntaloka. It's not Vaikuntaloka. The spiritual world, in opposition to the material world, has been called Vaikuntaloka. This is Kuntaloka. Kunta means fear. So this is there, the Bhagavatam says to us, a very clear language, because we have turned away from Krishna. Now, the solution is to turn to Krishna and worship Krishna under the direction of the devotees. And how to worship Krishna in this age of Kali is what we try to do now, to hear about Krishna and to speak about him, glorify him. This is what it is, the age, it's the Sankirtan age, it's a glorification. That's our process. So, the moment you hear about Krishna, this problem, the knot of the heart, this ego knot, which has come because you turned away from Krishna, is separated. However, we do have a problem in Kali Yuga. We don't like to hear about Krishna. We just don't take the time to hear. If you would like to make one experience in your life, which at least for me was very shocking, it's in chanting Hare Krishna, try to listen to one mantra completely. And you will see what many spiritual psychologists have said, that the mind has a resistance to Krishna, to spiritual experience. I just read, we want to publish a book on spiritual care, and it's written by a pharah, a priest who practices Krishna consciousness, and he just said the same thing from his epistolarian background, that there is fear in the normal person of revelation of God, because he will have to give up his controlling spirit, and he doesn't like it. So the taste is not there to take the medicine. Krishna, and then how will we be cured? I made a scandal in the hospital. Two scandals. Two times I didn't take the medicine. The first was when I pulled the infusion out of the veins because I just couldn't take it any longer. It was just so, everything was painful. And then they came the next morning. Oh, the infusion is out. Yes. The infusion is out. I needed one more infusion of vitamin B12, but I said I will go without this. I will have my Camus. I will drink my Camus. There's also vitamin. It's too much. And the next scandal was when they gave me antibiotics orally. That happened in the morning. They gave me such a pill. It had 10 tons of antibiotics inside. And I wanted to take it, but not really. It was just head knowledge, not heart knowledge. So when I was in the bathroom and they did the bed, made a new bed, they found the antibiotica pill under the pillow. Unconsciously, I had put it there because I just couldn't take the modern medicine any longer. Then they all became very heavy with me. We can't cure you if you have already taken the infusion out, that now you don't take the medicine. And I said, you must understand, I'm a different anyways, I give up to explain. But if I really did not want to take the antibiotica, then I'm intelligent enough to take this pill with me to the toilet and just flush it down. I wouldn't put it under the pillow where you will find it. It was a subconscious reaction. It was not a conscious reaction. From now on, I will take all your pills. But they still talk about me. You know, why did you put it under the pillow? I heard this from my doctor. Mm-hmm. Krishna. So we have a patient is a problem patient if he doesn't take the medicine which is given to him. And we in Kali Yuga are problem patients because we don't like to hear and chant. We just don't take the time. And you can see it if you try to chant one mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare... Where you have to connect the mind with just one mantra. Don't think of the next mantra. Only about the mantra which you chant. In our japa workshop we do this, and it's quite an experience. Burijan Prabhu introduced this in Vashana last year, and wow, you can try tomorrow. Just one mantra. What it means, every syllable you want to hear, Sudhir. Every syllable and every word. And then when one mantra is finished, you again do the practice, one mantra, because a new mantra comes. But while you chant, you don't go into the future and you don't go into the past. You just stay with the present moment, which is what you do at the moment, the chanting of Hare Krishna. Just the presence, not the past and not the future. And you will see, it is yoga to do that. It's an intent. Would we like to try it? Let us all, please. One thing is, don't try to force your mind too much, because then it will not cooperate with you. We will just chant a few. Rounds together now. A few mantras. Sorry. Said the wrong. Please say with me. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Vaman Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you. That was not so bad. The atmosphere told. But some of you were quite successful. So when you apply this simple technique for your 16 rounds, you will be able to make tremendous improvements in your spiritual life. It will really work. in many ways. I'm almost finished. It's only a few more minutes. The moment Lord Krishna sees that you are making this endeavor, Lord Krishna becomes very active in your heart and removes from your heart that which is our greatest enemy in our spiritual life, that are these desires which are not connected with Krishna. I don't know if you have some of the desires like this. I still have many. You know, these desires which bring us away from Krishna. That's our greatest enemy, really, in spiritual life. There is one stronger enemy. It's the so-called happiness which we feel when we have these type of desires, which are illusory. And which confirm, which make us greedy for more. It's called dopamine, which comes. It's a chemical which rewards the body with some type of feeling of, you know, it's a chemical thing. It can be like a drug. So those who are developing attachments and fulfill the attachments, they will find out how this chemical comes whenever they have the feeling of gratification. They become greedy for more of this experience through which the body rewards a conditioned soul. Krishna, in other words, becomes active in the life of the devotee at the moment in which the devotee sincerely wants to hear about Krishna and turn to Krishna. And then he helps the devotee. And if the devotee continues with the process of hearing about Krishna and also serving other devotees, then the experience of Krishna consciousness can be made. Almost everything which is unwanted is destroyed. One gets this firm bhakti, and then the heart is no longer overpowered by rajas and tamas, and God realization can come. And this is the Bhagavatam process, the road of experience. I would like to end my little presentation on developing heart knowledge with a little story from the life of the great acharyas, which is very, very much summarizing what I wanted to express today. It's about the wrestler Danurdas, who was married to a, not married, who was associating with a courtesane. I hope that's the right English word. When he joined Ramanuja's movement, he went back to his village first and asked the king, "Can you give me permission, please, to become a devotee?" He was wrestling for the king. The king liked him very much. The king asked, "Well, where do you join, in which ashram?" "In Ramanuja's ashram." "Oh, yeah. I will still pay you. You are I will never get such a good wrestler as you again." So Danudas had some modest income. And he lived there with, he married this girl he was in love with. And Dhanuddha somehow, not because of his knowledge, but because of his sincere devotion, became very close to Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya was every day spending a good amount of time with him, explaining the secrets of spiritual life. Now, the brahmacharis in the brahmachari ashram, who were all brahmanas, became very, very disturbed. Why is Guru Maharaj giving so much attention to Dhanurdas and not to us? They were disturbed like this. And very disturbed. So once Ramanujacharya, in order to teach them a lesson, made a trick. In the morning, early in the morning, when they were still resting, he went to that rope where they had their dhotis and their kopins, and he took from every dhoti and kopin a little piece of cloth. So when these brahmanas and brahmacharis came to get their clothes, the clothes were ripped. And they began to quarrel. Said, "You took my clothes. No, you took my clothes. You ripped my clothes." It was really an unschöne scene. And finally, they began to really attack each other. So Ramanuja came to stop and he said, "Enough is enough. Now you should go to Dhanurdas' wife. I will keep Dhanurdas and speak to him and steal the wealth from her. Go in the house so that you can buy new clothes." So they went. Ramanuja has given the okay. And they saw the wife of Dhanurdas, a beautiful woman who once was a hofdame, a courtesan, and while she was resting, and they took all the ornaments from her, nose ornaments, ear ornaments, hair ornaments. I don't really know where a South Indian lady has ornaments, many gold ornaments. So she woke up and she could see, well, these are the disciples of Guru Maharaj. They must be very poor in the ashram. They should take everything which we have. And after they had taken half of what was on her body, she slowly, slowly, slowly turned around so that they could take the second half. And but the brahmanas were thinking, oh, she wakes up, and they were all running out of the window. Vroom, vroom, vroom. So they came back and told Ramanuja, we have gotten a lot of jewels, but she was in the process of waking up, so we are now back. So Ramanuja said, now go to with Dhanuddha. Now I will send Dhanuddha or Dhanurdas home, and you please see his reaction when he sees his wife and what he will talk to his wife. Okay. So they went, and they arrived a little later than Dhanurdas, and they heard how Dhanurdas looked at his wife and said, "Oh Devi, you are only half ornamented. What is the situation?" And she explained everything. They came, they were god brothers, they seemed to need money, and I wanted to give them the other half by turning around. "Oh," said Dhanurdas, "you have and what happened? Well, they thought I was becoming awake and they just ran away. Oh, Siddhartha, he was a chance to serve. Oh, we are so very, very sorry that we couldn't serve. I'm very, very sorry. Okay, very sorry. So this was the reaction of Dhanudas. And the Brahmanas heard it. They could now understand why Dhanudas was so dear to Ramanuja. Of course, in our modern context, we are also poor. We can't give away our jewels. Otherwise, our whole system, our weak maintenance system breaks into pieces. This is not what I want to say. What I want to say is I want to give you an example of a devotee where the knowledge has come from the head to the heart. I wish you so much of the mercy of Krishna that this can happen in your life also, because I'm from that experience in the hospital, or looking at that experience in the hospital, I'm personally very much convinced that this is our task, that this is very important, that we require this as devotees. We starve for this. Starve heißt hungern. This is where Krishna consciousness is. Last Braj Manda Parikram, not Parikram, but last time we were in Braj, we had this wonderful time for us where we could chant. We had a bicycle and we drove through Vrindavan. And after a few weeks, we had become so much part again of this beautiful scenery that we understood this is Krishna consciousness. We felt like children. When there was dust, we just threw ourselves into the dust and bathed in the dust. And I could understand that we Westerners, especially Germans, and Americans, and Swiss people, and Holland people, and Croatian people, in other words, everyone in Kali Yuga, has so much use to work in the head by our lifestyle, by the pressure which we are subjected to, that it's high time to go on that road which the Bhagavatam describes. The road where, that's why I like it so much, where you will find Krishna and entering your heart and changing something in your heart for the better. This is, if you want to read this and discuss it with your devotee friends, it's in the second chapter of the first canto, I believe starting this text 17, in this area. Well, actually, I have written it down, I can tell you. So, Krishna, Krishna. Yeah, the process starts with 16, 1 to 16. There Sukadev Goswami describes how we can come on this road. Krishna experience. When we were in Braj, I also saw this group of Padayatris who went with one friend of Radhanath Maharaj, Ramesh Baba, usually like, I don't know, 20,000 devotees go with him. And so we were driving with our bicycle to a holy place where they also went, and they all, many of them knew us, and they invited us to come to the evening, to the program which they gave. And it was a wonderful program, which was all about what I have tried to explain to you today. And I could understand in our bhakti tradition, that's the way we hear about Krishna, we chant about Krishna, and we bring it from here to the level of surrender and faith and so on. Krishna, I can see you are all a little tired today, huh? Because it's, maybe it's Ekadasi and you had to do a lot of work and service and so on. I'm sorry if I have kept you a little longer than you expected. What to do? Krishna. When I'm becoming healthy again, I want to become a much more sensitive servant of all of you. It's a very, very strong desire. When you feel pain, you can feel the whatever the disturbances in the hearts of others much, much, much more. Now I have become very, very determined to become better in my health. See, there was in this hospital, there was this the problem which was not the surgery, the operation. It was what happened after the surgery, the infection. And for the doctors, it's to this day a mystery what this infection was. And it's a problem for them, because it's a very good hospital and they certainly don't want to have an infection going on there. And now by some very, very nice doctor and an analysis, a good system, we have located what is the infection, what it is, where it is, and it's something which requires attention. If I don't give it the attention and cure it completely now, there will be not so good consequences in my life. So I have decided to leave Goloka Dham tomorrow and go to where the sun is and where the ocean breeze is, because I grew up at the banks of the ocean on an island, and it's very, very good for my organism. I've decided to go to Split, and the devotees have, I mean, you know, the Croatian devotees, they are just so much connected with everyone. They have found a boat, you know, and then we will go by boat to this island where one devotee owns a house, and I will stay there and just eat very healthy and then take a lot of medicine. These are all natural medicines. I mean, according to this plan, it's not my own prescription, but it's really, I'm in good hands now. And then I will just live a life which is totally free from the normal stress which a preacher has, because over the years I have seen in my life was a lot of stress. And then I just pray to Krishna that he gives back the health and also the required realizations to find the best way how I can serve Srila Prabhupada and Krishna at this stage of my life. This is, let me say, in one way I'm very much looking forward to this. In another way, I feel, of course, as someone who likes to do his service, I feel a little bit, how do you say, separated from my service. But I really feel that this is Krishna's mercy at this stage, so that I can do my service much better. To preach this time of this time, I believe, requires a lot more sensitivity, a lot more realization, a lot more spiritual heart than I have been able to give in the last years or so. Times have changed for everyone. And I really wish, as a servant of my exalted spiritual master, I wish to really become a better instrument in his hands. I've seen. So I'm looking very much forward to this time. Very much. And but I do need health for this. I think you can understand. We all require that. Yes, it's a. So I will go there where there are ideal situations, and on the way, I will do something which some of you will not like. I will go to Zagreb and preach for Gopunim. It's important. It's 1 day or 2 days. No, 3 days. I will not. I will stay outside with some devotees, but then I will go there. I told the devotees I had promised to come to Nityananda's appearance day. Now, Lord Nityananda is not different from Chaitanya. I will keep my promise. I will come to Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance day. I'm too much a German. That would be too hard for me to break a promise. So I'm coming for that. Good. So, Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions to what you have heard so far? It's not, I think it's a subject matter you have thought most properly about in your life. It's something which is in the experience of all of us. Or do you, have you thought about this subject matter in some ways? But I think it is something which moves us at times, where we sometimes, I'm thinking, so much I have heard, where's the realization? You know, we feel like that. Sadhanandi, you.
Because I'm very often in the service, in the head, thinking of many things, and this is to be done, that, and duties, and so on. Yeah, but how to keep connected, even in such a service, with the heart, that it doesn't go lost, that one is also aware of Krishna's presence more. And
Sadhanandi says, I am often in the situation that I become so busy in my services, I have to do this and think of this and so on, that I very much stay in the heart, in the head. And how can I remain connected to that deeper realization? In some ways, there is no answer to this, how can I be in this case? Because it is a question of grace, it's a question of mercy. And I think we all have noticed it. Sometimes we are so impossibly diverted from Krishna consciousness, but then in the midst of it, it's there. It seems to sometimes be like a musician who plays according to the notes, and he plays and there's no music there. Do you know that there's a difference between playing notes and playing music? Maybe those who are not musicians don't, you know, isn't it? Und plötzlich ist der Groove da. Nicht, sagt man doch in the music which Nitai Gunamani knows. It's called the groove when the music comes. In classical music, I don't know what it's called, but what?
No.
There's something. It's another word, but it. Every musician knows that, you know. Or a lecture. You may talk your thing, but there is no. All of a sudden, a spark comes. It's a mercy of Krishna, ultimately. However, in Krishna consciousness, we keep remembering that mercy is mercy. It is given by Krishna. It is not fabricated by our mind and our intelligence. However, we can show Krishna that we want it, that we are not gleichgültig. How do we say gleichgültig? Indifferent. Indifferent to this mercy. We can follow his instructions of hearing hearing about him. That's how in this age of Kali, Krishna travels to his devotees, in this hearing process. It's the Sankirtan movement. So by applying this process, there is a greater chance that you will think of Krishna. Because by hearing, three types of doubts are removed in Krishna. You cannot realize Krishna if you have doubts in him. Now, when you hear the Shastra, the first doubt is removed, that is, that there is a God. And you become convinced by hearing this. Now, when you continue to hear, more and more, all the oppositions become removed to Krishna consciousness. You feel, well, this is very logic. But if you continue to hear, the last doubt is removed, and that's the most terrible doubt, the deepest doubt, and is, can I realize God? This is the Jiva Goswami analyzes this in Bhakti Sandhava, how by hearing one after the other, the three doubts go. Burijan Prabhu always says this, the greatest problem of the Westerner is he feels abundant by God. Gott hat mich aufgegeben. And he feels the doubt, can I make a realization of Krishna? In the 60s, there was a very religious singer. I forgot his name, but Richie Havens. He was a friend of George Harrison, and he would sing with this. He really meant it. And I saw him in Germany again a few years ago in one festival. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child.
He really meant it. Oh, so much emotion came through, a long, long way from home. You know, this is a feeling which one has. Will I ever make contact with Krishna? So, by hearing about Krishna, this doubt is moved away, because Krishna is attracted to those who hear about him, and he comes in the heart of these devotees and removes these abhadranis, these doubts. To go on a hearing marathon. But you know, the revelation of Krishna is ultimately up to Krishna. There's this shloka which Prabhupada has often quoted: the Supreme Lord cannot be attained by lecturing about him, and also not by much hearing about him. There's no method, because that's what it means, the heart, you know, it's something that... Well, the scriptures always say you can come to this by the association of devotees who have this in their heart, you know, this, who are Krishna conscious. It somehow, in a positive way, infects you. Like someone who may have an infection, if you eat the food, you also become that, get this infection. So that devotees' association brings you there. I think we sometimes feel this when we are with devotees who are in the heart. We think, oh, what am I doing? I'm wasting my time. You know, we feel this, and this shock is sometimes healthy for us. At least I have seen. Sometimes healthy, we feel. Okay, I should put my attention in a different direction. Thank you for this question. You know, there is a problem when you are only in the head. You know so much, but you don't do it. And that creates a feeling of guilt in you, or a feeling of schizophrenic. Now the modern reaction is, okay, then I don't listen to anything any longer. So that I don't develop guilt. It's so terrible, you know. Hare Krishna. How do you feel, you know, how will you feel at the end of life when you know there is something and you are not doing it? That can be troublesome. Psychologists, so much books are about this problem. So many books. Ooh. Problem. You know. Usually you get sick when you know you should do something and you don't do it. It happens, you know. I understand the lesson. Krishna. Ananga Manjari.
You said this Vidyana is a very special mercy of Krishna. And you started to speak like he's just waiting on the way. What he's waiting? What is the special quality of someone who is getting this Vidyana?
Bhagavatam says, Srinvata svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana rityantasto hyabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. That Krishna waits until you listen and hear about him, and then he appears in your heart. And when he is in your heart, he takes the unfortunate things away. Krishna is waiting When is she interested in me? And then she comes. Let's see what he... It starts with attention. When is that person giving attention to me? And then he just comes. Sometimes he waits like a long neglected lover and feels very happy. This is given in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Krishna says to Swarup, I was waiting for you. How could you tolerate to not come to me? And I noticed you had no interest in me. You didn't have even interest to chant my holy name. How could you do this? This is like, you know, a friend who says, you were so long away. How was it possible for you? Krishna is addressing like this. And when I saw you would not come back to me, then I felt I had to do something, but I needed to be careful to not interfere with my own rules. You know, what is his rules? That he doesn't interfere with your own right to decide in your life. So I came as your spiritual master, Jayanta, he says, when you were at Govardhan. And then there was a... Yes, and we know that Swarup saw, at that time he was Gop Kumar, he saw this saint, this Jayanta singing and dancing, and sometimes fainting on the ground in ecstasy, and he became attracted to him. So such a wonderful personality. The devotee association worked, in other words. He became also... I don't want to say infected, but he became touched. Yes, that's a good word. And then, yes, he became close, and he became initiated and guided by Jayanta, and so on. So what is Krishna waiting for? Attention, Ananga Manjari. Love starts with attention. Remember how you married your husband. First you saw, oh, he is not like everyone else. He is very special. And you had some attention in his direction. And then from that attention, other feelings developed. So with Krishna also, attention is the starting point. And that attention has to be given to Shastra, to the scriptures. It's now 9 o'clock. I know, Vishaka, you have a question, but please park the question. I have to leave here by 6 o'clock. That means I have to get up very early. I mean, not very early, but I want to say goodbye to you. I do not know when I will return to Goloka Dham and see you, because I just don't. I give my life now to Krishna. I have to take care. I mean, I have to see what is, how this health thing works. But it's not. It sounds so dramatic. It's not. But I have really cancelled my America journey. I have cancelled all other things, because I do know if I don't listen to the signs now which are on the wall, then it would be very, very unfaithful to Krishna. This is my second call. The first was when I couldn't move. That happened in Radha Desh, when I couldn't move any longer from the back. And this is now the second call, and I don't know if I will get a third chance. So I really have to follow this now. that I mean, I think it will take. My hope and my desire is to be ready for to enter slowly into my service in the middle of April. That's my you know. But I also have to leave that open. I've written a new article on the Sharanagati webpage, which you really will like. It's small, it's like a story. It's called The Unexpected Phone Call. Please watch the Sharanagati webpage. It's now edited. Now some other editing will be done. This last edit, we have talked a lot on quality control in Sharanagati, and especially I'm not knowing the English language very well, so I need a lot of help, and then it will come out, and please read it. You will not believe it. It's very, very nice.